following message is brought to you by Cashin First Baptist Church and Pastor Greg Davis in Cashin, Oklahoma. For more information about Cashin FBC, please visit cashinfbc.org.
If you have your Bible this morning, I'm going to ask you to turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. For those of you who are new here, you're maybe a guest, or you've not been here in several weeks, we just completed last week about a two-year journey through the Gospel of John. And for the next month, for about 6 weeks, I would say, into the first part of January, we're doing something we do every year, and this is called our Missions Emphasis Month. The reason we do that is that Southern Baptists during this time of year focus on missions, and I'll tell you the why of that at the end of this message. But in the next couple of weeks, we'll have some guest speakers who will talk about missions and various other things. Today's message is going to draw from several wells from the Scriptures. And so, as always, you'll need to be willing to turn with us. And the title of this message is kind of tell you what it's going to be about. It's preparation for missions. Preparation for missions. How do we prepare ourselves? How do we prepare our church for missions and evangelism? Simply put, how do we prepare ourselves to tell others about Jesus? Because missions are not only global, they're local as well. They're in our homes, they're in our schools, they're in our workplaces. And how do we prepare ourselves for that? How do we prepare our hearts for that? So I want us to look at Acts chapter 8. This is just going to be one of several passages that we'll consider today. 1 through 4. If you don't have a Bible, you can follow along on the screen. Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. That's talking about Stephen, who was the first Christian martyr found back in Acts chapter 7. Stephen stood up against the Jewish authorities and they stoned him to death. And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house and dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Would you bow your heads with me this morning as we pray? Father God, I pray that we burn with a passion for the gospel, that we would understand our role in missions, that we are the ones who take it. You're the one who's given it to us to take out into the world, and we would understand that role appropriately. And Father, I just pray that we would have it seared into our hearts, that it could not be stored up or kept in, that it would be something we have to give out. So Father, we pray for eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts that are quick to obey. Pray this in Jesus' strong and mighty name. Amen. I want to give you several things that we need to grasp in our minds to help us in missions and in evangelism. And the first thing that we need to grasp, and it's found here in Acts chapter 8, is the idea of personal responsibility. Personal responsibility. I want to draw your attention to Acts chapter 8 for just a moment and tell you the context of Acts chapter 8. Jesus told the church back in Acts chapter 1 that they were going to take the message about Him out into the world. He said they were going to take it to Judea, Samaria, and the outermost parts of the world. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the outermost parts of the world. Jesus told them that was going to happen. But something with the early church happened, and that was that they stayed in a cloistered environment, primarily in Jerusalem. And so Jesus, speaking of kind of a metaphor here, Jesus had to kick them out of the nest, so to speak. And I'm going to tell you how Jesus kicked them out of the nest under His sovereign hand. He allowed them to be persecuted. You see, the church was staying together in this one area in Jerusalem, and they were all kind of hanging out and doing kind of the good things of focusing on the Word of God and focusing on the message of the gospel, but they did not do what Jesus wanted them to do, which was to take this message into other areas. And so a man named Stephen was martyred. He was killed for his faith. And Jesus, in his sovereignty, used that event to push them into the areas they were supposed to go into. Do you remember what I said they were going to do? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. I want you to notice something in verse 4. It says, Therefore those who had been scattered went about preaching. Philip went down to the city of what? Samaria. One of the very places that God had ordained that they were going to take the gospel. And so this happens as a result of this persecution. And here's what happens. Everyone is scattered into the world except for one group. And I want to see if you noticed it. Did you see the group in verse 1? It says, they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. Now, I want you to think about something for just a moment. When we think about who is supposed to share the gospel, in a biblical sense, we would think first and foremost, who would it be? It'd be the leadership. It would be the apostles. But it said everyone but the apostles were scattered out into the world. So the question is, if the apostles stayed put, who shared the gospel? That's where verse 4 comes in. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. It is those in the church who were persecuted and scattered out, they are the ones who went about preaching the word. And in verse 4, that word preaching there, that does not mean they were standing behind a pulpit proclaiming the word of God. It means that they were evangelizing others and telling them the story of Jesus. And I'll show you a really good example of this if you'll look in just a few verses later. Look at verse 35. Look at verse 35. Philip has encountered a man in an evangelistic encounter, a man out on a deserted road. We call him the Ethiopian eunuch, and he comes up and he doesn't know anything about Jesus. He doesn't know the first thing about Jesus. And notice what Philip does in verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning from the scripture, he preached Jesus to him. So brothers and sisters, understand something this morning. Standing behind a pulpit is one form of preaching the word of God. But any of you who ever go and tell another person about Jesus Christ is preaching the word to them. You're proclaiming to them. You're giving them the word of God. And all of us, notice verse 4, not just the leadership of the church, all of us have a personal responsibility to share and spread the word of Christ. I don't know how many of you have been watching the news or read news reports in the last couple of weeks who heard about the death of a missionary recently named John Chow. And John Chow went to what was called a remote island by India, and this island has not been in contact with the outside world in hundreds of years. They're primitive people using bows and arrows. And John Chow went to this island. A fisherman brought him onto the island. And when he landed on the island, a young boy drew back a bow and arrow and shot John Chow's Bible. And the fisherman said, "Should we leave?" And John Chow said, "No, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to try to contact these people." Well, the next day when the fishermen went by, they noticed that they had John Chow's dead body dragging it across the island. This has happened in the last couple of weeks. Now, the reason I'm bringing up this story of John Chow, so many people are critiquing what he did. Was his theology correct? Did John Chow have permission to make contact with these people? Should he have coupled with an organization? And I want to tell you what I said to someone at the beginning of this service. It is easy to critique others' approach to evangelism, isn't it? I mean, it's easy to say, well, I wouldn't have done it that way, or he wasn't wise in doing that. But here's the question. Do we take our responsibility seriously to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? D.L. Moody was a approached by one woman one day, and she was criticizing the way that D.L. Moody shared the faith. And D.L. Moody said to her, "I don't like the way I do it either. Tell me how you do it." And she said, "Well, I don't do it." And D.L. Moody said, "I like the way of my doing it better than your way of not doing it at all." We all, brothers and sisters, have a personal responsibility to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we go from here, whether it's in our family, whether it's in our workplace, whether it's in our school, we have a responsibility to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the first thing that we have to grasp. All of us, and I'll talk about how you can be involved in this at the end of the service, all of us have a responsibility. The second thing we need to grasp is our need for prayer, our need for prayer with evangelism. Turn to your right in your Bible and go to the book of Colossians, and if you'll find Colossians chapter 4, Colossians chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 2 through 4. I've got quick hands this morning. Paul says this, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well that God will open to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I've also been in prison, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak." The foundation for all evangelism and all missions is an emphasis on prayer. That is the one thing that all of us must do when we talk about sharing the gospel, when we talk about taking the gospel into the world, is a foundation of prayer. And I want you to notice the two things that Paul prayed for. Notice in verse 3, Paul prayed for open doors. Paul says, praying for us at the same time that God will open up to us a door for the word. Now, stop right there, and I want you to consider something this morning. If God does not open the door, we don't want to walk through it. And there are many times when we talk about missions and evangelism in the book of Acts that Paul will say, we were going to go into this region, and yet the Holy Spirit forbid us, prevented us, wouldn't let us go in. But there were other times that the Holy Spirit would open the door wide open and Paul would walk through. We want to pray for opportunities to share the gospel. That's something that each and every one of us can do. That's something that each and every one of us ought to do. But not only do we want to walk through those doors, verse 3, but we want to pray that when we walk through those doors, that there's clarity in the message that we share. He says, we want to open this door up so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I've also been in prison, that I may make it clear in the way that I ought to speak. We want to be clear, and we want to be helpful, help people to understand. We don't want to be agents of confusion. We want to be people of clarity. And who does Paul lean on for open doors and clarity? The Holy Spirit. He calls on God to help them do those things. One of the things that you're going to see in this message is there is a combination of two things, the divine sovereignty of God and the human responsibility of man. Both of those things exist in this text. Now, we need to be faithful with those open doors, but I want to challenge you to do something, and we'll talk about it at the end of the service as well. You have people in your life who do not know Jesus, every one of you. 1 3-by-5 card. Write down those three names and pray for those people. Pray for them. Ask for open doors. Ask for opportunities to share the gospel. That is a way you can be involved in missions and in evangelism. Third thing that we need to grasp is perspective. Perspective. In other words, who is in the business of saving people? And who does the saving in the Bible? Is it us or is it God? We need a perspective on who does that. So the last place that I'm going to have you turn is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Just to your left, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 1 through 6. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And we're going to find out a perspective. Who saves? Who evangelizes? 3, 1 through 6. This is Paul speaking again. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you're not able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly, and are you not walking like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' and are you not mere men? What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, and even as the Lord gave opportunity to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth." There was a division in the church. Some are following one leader, some are following the other. One's following Paul, one's following Apollos. Some others say they're following Jesus. No doubt those were the Baptists in the group, right? They are all following a different leader, and Paul says this is an immature thing. It's a factious thing. We shouldn't be doing it. And so Paul wants to remind them of the importance of their role in evangelism. And one of the things that commentators believe is maybe they were coupling up with people that led them to Christ, right? Paul led this group and they're rallying behind Christ, and Apollos led this group and they're rallying behind Apollos. You can imagine that. The person that led you to Christ is a significant person in your life. But Paul says, I want to remind you of what we actually did. He says, what then in verse 5 is Apollos and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believe. And then in verse 6, he says, I planted, Apollos watered. Probably that Paul shared the gospel and Apollos followed up with something like discipleship. But here's where he gives them a perspective. You and I have a role and we need to get it right. You and I have things that we're to do, and we need to do our job and do it well. But I want you to see what Paul says here in the following verses. Two things that Paul settles in our mind immediately. Notice in verse 5, he says, "Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one." You must understand this. God brings the people. We pray, and then God provides. And Paul says, I want to establish this in your mind. It wasn't me bringing you to myself. It was the Lord bringing you to me. And then notice in verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but everybody look at your Bible right now. Look at verse 6. But God was causing the growth. And then in verse 7, notice he says it again. So then, neither the one who waters or plants nor waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Yes, you have a job, but do not mistake your role for God's role. You must keep that in perspective, because I want to tell you from personal experience, the surest way to a nervous breakdown is to flip those roles. Many of you have been here from the beginning of my ministry. February will be 15 years, time in ministry. There was a time early in my ministry, many of you probably know this, I thought I could save everyone. I thought I could restore every marriage. And I want to tell you where I ended up. I ended up in a counselor's office. I ended up in a counselor's office on the verge of a nervous breakdown. Have you ever seen the bumper sticker that says, "Want to lose weight? Ask me how"? I'm going to create a bumper sticker that says, "Want to have a nervous breakdown? Ask me how." And you know how it is? Put yourself in the place of God. Think it's you that's saving people and creating opportunities. No, brothers and sisters, we must have the perspective. We all have a role, and it is to share the gospel and pray for those opportunities. The last thing that we need to grasp for missions and evangelism is patience. Patience. Jesus often compares kingdom work to casting seeds. And Jesus will say, it grows, but it doesn't happen overnight. It happens over time. Many of you in this church garden, and I know that there's lots of work in the late winter and early spring where you're preparing that garden. There's months of work that goes into that before you start to see any of the fruit of your labors. And it is the same way with missions and evangelism. Jesus says it's like fruit. And we think about fruit for just any moment. If you plant a tree, it's years before you know what it's actually going to bear. You may know what the blossoms are going to look like, but it's years and years and years before it begins to produce apples or before it begins to produce pears or whatever it is. That fruit is there over time. We, in missions and evangelism, must be patient and not give up. If you've been here for any length of time, you know the story of George Mueller. George Mueller ran an orphanage. And if you've read any of his works, he is known for his, what was called, persevering prayer. And that means that Mueller prayed and never gave up. And that orphanage that he ran saw thousands of kids come through it, and they also saw thousands of miracles happen where Mueller would pray for bread and then somebody would come by and bring food on their last day of having groceries for the orphanage. Mueller saw this happen over and over. He's got journals of it you can buy in the bookstores. But Mueller wrote down five names of friends who did not know Christ. And as the story goes, a few months later, one of them came to know Jesus Christ. Mueller had written down five names. Now listen to this. It was 10 years later before two more were converted. And then Mueller would pray a total of 25 years before the fourth man was saved. It was 52 years later, after Mueller's death, that the last man was brought to faith. That, my brothers and sisters, is a picture of patience. In evangelism, all of us must have patience as we share the faith, as we send missionaries, as we are involved in any kind of mission endeavor, that it takes time to share the faith. Now, I want you to shut your Bible, and I want to give you three very practical things that you can do in this December month to be involved in missions and evangelism personally. Number one is consider your standing with Christ. That's first and foremost. Before we share with others, we need to ask ourselves, do we truly understand what it means to be a follower of Christ? And I want to give you just a real quick personal testimony, okay? I grew up in the church. My parents were friends with the pastor and his wife. We spent every Sunday night in their home. My father was an usher at the church. My mother was a Sunday school teacher. And I thought growing up, what being a Christian was walking down the aisle and signing a card and then the pastor telling you, you're now a Christian. And I think so many of us who grow up in the church believe that is Christianity. But the Bible tells us that Christianity is about repenting of our sins, turning away from the things that are displeasing for Christ and for the Word of God and for God Himself, and turning to Christ in faith and saying, there is no other way. I'm not good enough. I can't do it. I can't do enough good works. And I'm submitting myself to the Lordship of Christ. And then we need to examine if that has taken root in our life, just like the parables always say in the Bible. Has it taken root in our life in such a way that it begins to bear fruit in our life? every person in this church in the month of December, as we think about missions and evangelism, should say, do I truly know Christ? Because brothers and sisters, I want to tell you this. Eternity is at stake. This is not a laughing matter. This is not a trivial thing. Eternity is at stake when we think about our relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you, through the month of December, consider your standing with Christ? And if you say, Greg, I don't understand it. I don't know what it means to be a follower of Christ. You come and find me, and we'll tell you what it means to be a follower of Christ. Number two, pray for others to be saved. Pray for others to be saved. You can write down that 3x5 card. You can put those names, and you can start praying for those names. But I want to give you one specific name to pray for through the month of December, okay? They came and visited us last year, Waylon and Nicole Upchigo. And I want to tell you this. He has planted a church in Gary, Oklahoma. We just delivered 100 chairs to them last week. They had their first service with those chairs that this church bought. All Tribes Baptist Church. Would you pray for them for the month of December? And I want to tell you why. And then you're going to say, wow, Greg, you're a real good influence on people. I've been mentoring Waylon for about a year. And that was the reason he got involved and came here and that we bought the chairs for them and everything. And he had a particular way of looking at preaching and teaching. And I said, Waylon, you need to open the Bible and you need to preach what's there and that's it. And he started to do that. And you know what happened to the crowds? They disappeared. They thinned out. And that can be very, very disheartening when you're a pastor. But he just said, I'm going to open the Bible and I'm going to preach what's here. And it changed the dynamic of their congregation. They are trying to reach the Native American culture in Gary. There's lots of drugs and there's lots of alcohol. And they need lots of prayer. So if you would pray for them, couple up with us this month, 30 days, pray for All Tribes Baptist Church and the leadership of that church as they reach out. That's one of the ways you can be practically involved. The third thing is this, give. Give. Lottie Moon offering is given throughout the month of December. And I want to explain this. It is named after a famous female foreign missionary who went to China and lived among the Chinese and literally gave her life for those people. As a matter of fact, they believe the way that Lottie Moon died was by starvation because she was giving people her food who were having a hard time getting food. And so they named this Christmas offering after Lottie Moon. And every penny that is given during this month, above and beyond what you normally give to the church, goes directly to the foreign mission field. And so you might say this morning, all I have to give is a dollar above what I normally give. Did you know that dollar will go to help foreign missionaries? There is no gift too big or too small to give to the Lottie Moon offering. And I will tell you this, knowing missionaries who were on the field, they will tell you the bulk majority of their salaries are raised during what month? December. 100, I believe it was last year, I believe it was $160 million that they wanted to raise. It goes all to the foreign mission field. You may not know this. When we give to any other Baptist entities, it's all mixed up with administrative costs. You can't help but that happening. You can be part of this if you will give to the Lottie Moon offering. All of us have an opportunity this month. Would you stand with me? Next week, we'll start to hear from other people. We'll start to hear from other people. We'll hear through the month of December up into the first part of January. And then we're going to start, for those of you who are guests with us, we're going to start the book of Philippians in the month of January. And so you want to be part of that and get to reading on the book of Philippians. And we'll go verse by verse through the book of Philippians. Would you bow your heads with me?